Arizona ranks 45th in the country for child well-being, according to the annual Kids Count data book. The report looks at factors including education, health, and the economy. In those broad categories, Arizona doesn't fare any better than 38th out of the 50 states. With me to talk about the results is Dana Neymark, President and CEO of Children's Action Alliance. Dana, good morning.
Good morning.
What are your key takeaways from this 2018 version of this report?
Well, the number that jumped out at me the most and is the most disturbing is child poverty. And nearly one in four children in Arizona are living in poverty. That's higher than the U.S. rate. And importantly, that's after many years of an economic recovery. When, you know, here in Arizona, we're bragging about population growth, about new jobs, about low unemployment rate. But still, we have not translated that good economy into children's health, education, and security. So children living in poverty means so much deprivation in their lives. It's beyond just one number. It affects their neighborhood, their access to health care, access to transportation for their families, and it affects their future. So that's a number, but it's a condition that we should be paying more attention to.
A number of the indicators that the report looked at, especially in the realm of economic well-being and education, children in poverty obviously notwithstanding, Arizona did better in 2016 than they had just 6 years earlier in 2010. That includes teens in school and not in school and not working, the so-called opportunity youth, fourth graders not proficient in reading, eighth graders not proficient in math. Is it safe to say that Arizona is getting better?
Yes, that's a very good point. The national trends have been positive since 2010 and since that Great Recession, and many trends in Arizona are positive as well. Unfortunately, despite those positive trends, we're still leaving far too many children behind. But we certainly have seen improvement, especially in births to teen moms and some of the other indicators that you mentioned. So that is good news to celebrate.
So what do we do about some of these indicators? Obviously, there's not one silver bullet solution here, but are there things that can be done that maybe don't even necessarily cost a whole lot of money that governments or other entities can do to try to improve some of these numbers even further?
Well, one thing we can do better is coordinate how we reach out to families and to make sure we're finding ways to reach out to families before they're in crisis. That's something we're generally not very good at. We tend to wait until there's a crisis and then try to respond when it's much more expensive and also much more traumatic for families. So trying to change our focus to prevention and to early action and places for families to turn is something we all can do in the philanthropic sector, in the volunteer sector, and in the government sector. The other thing, as you know, it's election season, and we have lots of candidates running for office who are asking for our vote, and we should be asking them what their commitments will be to improve these conditions. What are they going to do to improve children's health, education, and security? What will they do to make it easier for families to lift themselves out of poverty? Those are questions that should be front and center between now and the primary election and then the general election in November.
In terms of the first thing you mentioned about trying to reach out to families before things really hit a crisis stage, is that a matter of families reaching out to agencies saying, look, we're sort of sliding down here, we need some help? Or do agencies and nonprofits and to some extent the government need to proactively find people who may be on the verge of finding themselves in a crisis situation?
Well, we need to do both, but I think the bigger problem and the biggest gap is that we don't have enough services, we don't have enough strategies to help families before a crisis occurs. Our systems tend to be set up as emergency systems, not as ongoing support and tools for families. So it's going to take some rethinking on our part and redesign of our systems to really be able to help families before kids are in some of these dire situations.
All right. That's Dana Neymark, President and CEO of Children's Action Alliance. Dana, thank you.
Thanks, Mark.